Drop it.
Hello foodies and welcome back to Food in Review. We bring you a tri-weekly dose of FIFA Ultimate Team fun. We talk the latest content, we discuss players and review them. And of course, as a part of foodcoaching.com, we'll give you advice like tactics and instructions. Today is Season 3, Episode 151 or 285 in total. And remember that we can only grow when you share or tell your friends that this is an awesome podcast. So if everyone that's listening can share it to one person, we'll be very happy and grateful for that. My name is John, also known as Food Coaching, and joining me today, let's start by our household name. It is none other than the teddy bear himself. It is Chris Grandpapa Mac. Hello, Chris.
Hi, John. How are you, my friend? I hope you're good.
I was good before we did the sweepstake drawing for the Patreons. Yeah, I was good. Can you remind everyone who you draw? Who you drew?
Was it France? I think I got France. No, I did. I tell you, it was actually Austria.
Austria. Yeah.
I think it shows that after that draw, that Foot and Review don't particularly like Scottish people. So,
nice. And to make sure we got that out of the blue, out of the way today, we've invited another Scottish person on the show, making, I would say, his debut, because it's been a really long time, but it's been far too long. But I'm so glad he's back. It is my absolute pleasure to reintroduce the world to none other than the saint himself. It is John, a.k.a. Talking Foot.
Evening, gents. How are we both?
Hello, John. It's good to see you and hear you.
Yeah, it's very good to be back. It's been a long time, but good to be back.
Tell the people where you're at, because we missed you a lot. And everyone, all the fans did. We dropped 5-star reviews. We dropped Patreons. There were people sending me messages and hate mails. Where's John? Where's the real John?
I'm not so sure that's the case, but I had a wee bad run, threw my toys out the pram, took a small break, came back, recharged, eased my way back in, and I'm actually in a not bad place.
All right. So you're having fun again with the game?
Yes, I even played Weekend League last week, so yeah, there you go.
Oh, how did that go then?
Good. Again, I always have a wobble in the silvers, getting out the silvers. But yeah, I got my 14 wins, took me 29 games. I think it was 5 wins, my last 7 games to get that. So I was really happy. Got another goal 3, which is, sorry, did I say goal 1? Goal 3, where I normally sit. So yeah, I was delighted.
Awesome. Now, in all seriousness though, the game can be frustrated at the time. But you left a so-called turkey that we were actually worried about you, but it's good to see your face again, laughing and enjoying the game.
I just needed a break and I took one.
Yeah, but you didn't break anything, right? That's the most important
thing. No, which is unusual because I have in the past the controllers and things, but not this time. I just was like, nope, that's it, gone. And then I was like, oh, I've got a scratch. I've got an itch that I just can't scratch.
Yeah, now you're back. It's good to see you back. And yeah, don't be a stranger. Be on the podcast more often, because people did miss you, and I certainly did as well.
Oh, that's really nice words. Thanks. Thanks, guys. So,
when we were talking about the draw from the Food in Review Patreon's Euro sweep, which we just did before the podcast, and for everyone that thinks we were biased or like we were, this was not completely random.
It was fixed.
We just want to say that Øystein and Tommy got Scotland, so good guys there. Of course, co-host, or actually prime host these days, Daniel Wimby got Poland, so very good luck with that, Danny. None other than our old-fashioned trader, Andrew, and Ingvi got France, so that might be a bit of a setup. And Chris, you already said what you got. You got Austria, same with Nathan. At least you make a good team there. But I'm all the way in Slovakia. So there's little chance I'd win. Although, I have to pay for the prize anyway, so there's no point for me winning. I don't mind that too much. But the difficult thing was that we had an agreement that we all both put a flag next to our name, with the proper team we would support. I am supporting Slovakia this period, though, and I can't find the flag anywhere, which is sort of troublesome, but hey. Anyways, if you wanted to be a part of that, of course, that was for the Food in Review supporters, which you can be if you join our Discord, and we'll definitely do more stuff like this. This is very fun to do. And it also gives you the opportunity to listen in live with the show when we record it. And you can not only hear our voices, but you can also see us sit. And I'm not quite sure if tonight's the best time to do that, because it is so hot in here and my hay fever is going through the roof. So for now, I'll shut up and I'll ask to John, what have you been up to and what do you think of today's content?
Well, obviously, like everybody else these days, been working like a madman, gets home looking for some exciting content to relax with, and it really wasn't there. But there is some content, Chris, is that right?
Well, you found it, to fair play, you found it, but just before we jump to the content, we do have to ask John, there is one of the OGs, what team he got in the draw, and is he going to put the flag after his name?
I don't know how to put the flag on. The draw is fixed.
For everyone asking what's going on, and they can't see the sweep, it is echt John, as of course a Scotsman, got England. At least you have a higher chance of reaching the finals than I do.
They don't want any prizes, thank you very much.
Oh, but yeah, this is good though. Also, for anyone that's wondering if the fullback meta is real, I just saw that England might start 4 fullbacks with Luke Shaw at centre back. So, yeah, I think FIFA is actually becoming more realistic than everyone is thinking these days. Yeah, content though, it has been a slow night, unfortunately, once again, but we did get some new hints for the promotion. I think we got the 88 plus team of the season upgrade, which I don't think anyone should do. And we got the 90 plus deluxe team of the season update, where you have to trade in an 87 rated squad to get a 90 plus team of the season player. Which you probably shouldn't do either, but at least that chance to get something nice is a bit higher. I didn't play this weekend, so that means I have like 3 gold cards left in my club, and that's really it. And unless I trade in Mbappe, no, not Mbappe, if I trade in Kane, I just compared Kane to Mbappe. This is going to be hard to get out of. But unless I trade in Kane and Benzema or Salah, I won't ever be able to do another SBC this year, I think. So for me, it's irrelevant. What about you, Chris? You going to do any of these SBCs?
No, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, if it had been a 90 plus, it would have been ultimate team of the season, you'd have been, you'd have dived right in. But, you know, you look at it and, you know, we've got our Ligue 1 tots face off against La Liga, and then you look at that team, there's a lot of 90 plus players in there. You know, you've got Andre and Klaus, Santa Claus, you know, from that point of view. And yeah, I just think it's no good value. And again, it's another strange one from EA trying to keep guys involved in the game. I just don't see that being a great thing. I mean, I certainly won't do it with yourself, John. Would you do it?
Yeah, did the 88 plus yesterday or the day before when it first came out? It's repeatable tonight. Well, not repeatable. It's a new one tonight, the same SBC. I did the 90 plus a couple of days ago as well. Got Casemiro. They both went into today's one. And I got Bamba, which I'm quite happy about. I was only doing it for the chance. But like you, I chucked in 3 team of the season high rated cards because I have no middle ground. I've got either dead low rated fodder or team of the season cards. I have nothing in between anymore. So
yeah, my club has never been more drained than it is today. Although Bamba is a really good card though. So I think he did well.
Yeah, I think I can fit him in. I'm looking to get rid of Carrasco. So I think I'll make some shuffles around and I'll bring him in.
Oh, well done, well done. Could be far worse. Because, the pools I see are, some of them are horrific.
I've always got that sort of, I'll take a punt and like everybody else, just looking for, you know, those leagues, Neymar, Mbappe, that's what it is you're doing it for, the off chance. Realistically, you know that's not going to happen. it's still like, well, how else do you improve your team at this stage if you've got no coins and very little fodder? You just got to chuck them in and hope for the best, and that's what I did.
Yeah, and it worked out well, though. Thing is, I don't really... I'm in a situation where I think my team is just fine. And not like elite. It hasn't got the Gullits or the Pelés or anything like that. It does have a team of the season, CR7, team of the year, just saying.
Have we heard this before?
No. You've been away, John. Have you not heard that since you've been away?
I've listened to many a pod. I know.
I think what I want to say is my team is like fine. There's not many players I could fit in. Like, I can't even fit in my Kane or my Salah, Benzema, Vasquez. Just, I could fit them sort of in, but won't make my team stronger. So I'm in a pretty good spot, and I'm not sure, because we'll see a new promo this Friday, how things will change. I think we reached peak performance on these cards. What do you guys think? Will there be any cards left to make this, like, want more? I think John said before the show started, enough is enough with the new cards. John, let ask you, do you think enough is enough now with these new promos? Or are you expecting such fun cards that you're actually trying to improve your team using them?
I think they'll do juiced cards again. That's the only way to keep people engaged. And these cards will potentially slot in. If you look at some of the previous FIFA 18, some of those cards were amazing that came out. So I think, yeah, the cards will be juiced. People will continue to develop their team. Otherwise, if they don't, for a lot of people, FIFA will be over. So that's my thoughts. Yeah. What about you? Your thoughts?
I just wonder if they're able to jump on and pick the games. You know, we had in summer heat a lot of showdowns, which kept a lot of people interested. The other thing as well is, I wonder if, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was the Mendy card, wasn't there, that came out, started off with the Footmas card, I'm sure it was at that time, and then you could get upgrade to like the pure Prime one, the Summer Heat one at the very end there, and that would be something to keep guys engaged. Whether they're going to go with that, you know, I think we all quite enjoyed the kind of Academy players and Foot Stars. Yeah, that would have been a good one. And so hopefully they do something like that, but I'm unsure, because they don't have the rights to the Euros, if they can potentially do those showdowns. I'm sure they can. I mean, it's hard, difficult to say you can't put a fixture list up together up against like the Euros.
I think they can do showdowns, though. Mm-hmm. Why. I mean, they can't use the logo, they can't use the setup, I think. So they can't like make a separate mode like they did a couple of years ago with the World Championship, which was pretty cool, actually. But all in all, I think they can do some stuff around it. Because this is called Festival of Foot, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. It's an unfortunate colour of card at the back, but...
No, not unfortunate. It's just an horrific colour.
It's all green, which is no use for me. I think I'd like to see something a bit out of the ordinary. I think Summer Heat definitely felt like a bit out of the ordinary. It was a kind of rolling promo. It lasted a long time. And hopefully they do this for the full month. You know, don't as... John said previously, sometimes too much content can be too much. Let's keep this promo for a month and try and get it, you know, tied into the Euros for that point of view. And again, let's hopefully they put something on where you can upgrade the cards, because that's good fun. Then you can grind towards something. You know, that Lanzini card in Max Chem was brilliant fun. It really was good fun. And, you know, you could play full press, override ball side, because there was no stamina issues. And it was a real good fun mode for that point of view. Let's see, hopefully do something like that.
Talking about that though, Amar says in chat, this week objective of the game mode was Max Cam, and that made the experience of acquiring Lanzini really hectic, because everyone plays constant pressure all game long. So not everyone, I think, finds it fun.
Yeah, I would agree. Twitter, I didn't do it, and I normally do all these sort of things. But yeah, Twitter that I read was just full of sweat fest. No golden goal, Max chemistry, obviously, as you said, Max press. And a lot of people found it actually quite stressful, not fun at all. Suppose it's
right.
At it.
I mean, I just felt it was more like an arcade game. Actually, you know, I'm at a certain age where it was more like an arcade game than a simulator, and that was good fun that way. You know, I certainly didn't find it very sweaty, even though I was a wee bit toxic myself last night. It definitely didn't feel very sweaty, to be honest with you.
There you go. We'll maybe give it a bash then.
Definitely, it's a good laugh. And if you do it now, John, you're at a stage where guys have probably got their wins. So you're maybe, you know, you'll get guys scoring and then just rubber banding it and allowing you to get on and score that, you know, get that. And the people are not too bored about that. There was plenty of golden goal, though, as well. There was a lot of all golden goal.
What do you guys think about a Wigan liquid golden goal, though? Ah. That would be fun.
What would be fun would be if they did a weekend league with bronze players. Because, I mean, our good friends on the Foot Fanatics were talking about the Condoball cards that have come out. Juice cards, but so the links of chemistry are just so difficult. But, you know, it got me thinking, you know, there's cards in there that are never going to see the light of day. You know, the Australian League, for one. You know, you've got, all right, the Chinese League's got SBCs. Our own SBL, John, isn't it? Never really gets a mention. Yeah, so why don't they do something like that? You know, like a bronze weekend league and just actually, I don't know, that I think the good players would still rise to the top, to be honest with you.
I think that goes back to two things for me. I think you spend all that time investing, time, effort, sometimes coins, as in cash, to build your team and therefore you want to play your best team. And then you can't, if they put something like a Brazilian league only or a bronze or a silver league only. So there is that side of it. You're right, the other side is we have all those cards that never literally get used. What is the point of a bronze card? What is the point of a bronze card in FIFA? You don't use them in the game unless you're doing bronze pack method, which I'd rather stab my eyes out with a fork. Right? What are you using your
bronze card? Don't do that.
They're just there to fill up packs, but so from that point of view, yes, you want to do something with them, Chris. You're absolutely right. But making people play that, I think it was somebody, I can't remember if it was in one of these pods or another pod I listened to, they talked about maybe there should be three different weekend leagues or different weekend leagues you enter. So this weekend I can play the standard weekend league and I'm going out with my best team, or I can just go into a silver weekend league where the rewards are a little bit different. That's what I'm going to do, or I can go into a bronze weekend league with the rewards again, they're slightly different. Mm-hmm. People the choice, but
that was Wimby's idea actually. It was a Champions League, Europa League, and then this new European Conference that I think the mighty St Johnstone's going to be in this year, aren't they? Are they in the Europa League?
Might make the Europa League.
It might mean the Europa. So, you know, from that point of view, I think that would be a good. Just, I think we're at the stage of the game now where Tots is finishing. All right, the Festival of Football's coming in, and but maybe bring back more of a laugh. I think, especially this summer, they're going to compete against the weather now. You know, I mean, it's beautiful here in Scotland. I'm sure it's lovely in the Netherlands as well, John, where you are. You know,
yeah, definitely. You can see it in my face if you're actually watching the live stream. Hey, FIFA all the time, and it's really warm. So,
And so you're now competing against, maybe now is the time to say, do you know what, guys, weekend league's going to be 14 games. Maybe they do that, make it 15, actually just cut it in half. Allow people to watch the Euros because you're competing against the football as well. You know, let's be honest, FIFA fans are football fans generally.
Yeah, so ain't going to happen.
You might make a change for next year, but they'll not change midway through the cycle or three quarters
But I'm right in saying, listen to the guys, that the qualifiers are finished for the pros, aren't they?
Yeah, qualifiers are finished, but the actual playoffs are like in 2 weeks.
Right.
3 weeks.
But weekend league, the guys aren't going to qualify for any more competitions, are they, for FIFA 21?
Correct.
So now's the ideal time. You know, they can do what they want with the game. They said they'd give us icon SBCs and you need icons in those SBCs. Hasn't happened. So they can change their mind any time they want, you know. Or they could bring in tournaments, especially the Euros coming, you know, ideal for a tourney.
Yeah, and I don't know what the strength is of PES during this time, because they do have the license and it actually looks pretty cool. So they might have to do something. I'm really curious about the promo, but I don't know anything else they could do with the cards except change position and stuff. So I'm not too hyped anymore for a new promo, let's put it that way. And the card caller doesn't help me at all to get hyped.
So, like I was saying before we came on, sometimes it's like, I've just got my team. I would like to play with my team for a couple of weeks, not feel like I need the next player because my players are being outpaced or out-leveled. That's what they want, because there's a massive demand for more content. And then people, with more content comes more packs makes more revenue. So it feeds the never-ending beast.
Yeah, that's fair. Although I don't think actually that... I don't think the power level can be much higher on these cards anyways. So there has to be something fun, like Chris says, else it doesn't make sense. Like Aguero is 250k. We didn't even talk about that, but the card's cheap, right? So what can a promo bring that there's not already there? Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of curious, but I'm very much over the hype. Just we'll see. Guys, there's also been rumors today, and I'll tell you soon what I think about it, Battlefield is the new, Battlefield 6 will run the new Frostbite engine, so the Frostbite 4 engine. There's a rumor going on that Frostbite 4 will be used for the new gen consoles, and Frostbite 3, the current engine, will run on the current gen, like the old gen promo. What do you guys think? Do you guys have any idea what this is, or what this could have for impact, or any thoughts about it? Could this rumor be true? I'll tell my opinion after you said it. Let's ask Chris first.
I don't know nothing about the Frostbite engines, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I couldn't even tell you the engine that we play at this current game. But I would like to see cross-platform gaming, which I think would make a difference. You know, we've got a great Discord here. Some guys are on PlayStation, some guys are on the Xbox, and I think it's maybe one or two probably on the PC. So if they're going to bring something like that, surely now's the time as well to bring a kind of cross-platform so we can all play. And also, if they're thinking of changing anything, let's bring in co-op where you can actually play 2v2. That's what I'd like to see.
2v2 Wigan League would be still awesome, though.
That'd be amazing.
John, any thoughts about the engine? If we get the two separate games?
I think it makes more sense because they can get more out of newer versions of Frostbite for the new gen. That makes more sense, and therefore the old gen will start to get left behind. Otherwise, you're going to continue to limit what you're doing on new gen if you continue to use the old Frostbite engine. So they need to move. How that works, I'm not 100% sure, but I could see that, what you just said, happening, John. The old gen on Frostbite 4, did you say?
That's the rumor.
I can definitely see that. But people also talk about Frostbite is what causes a lot of the problems with the current game that we have. It's not designed for football. It's designed for shoot-em-ups, basically. And they're peg-holing a FIFA game into an engine that it's not designed for. But that's a whole different story. You just have to Google it, and that's what everybody says is part of the problem with FIFA. It's the current engine that it uses.
Yeah, so that's something I've been hearing a lot. For quite honest, I don't believe the last one. I think Frostbite might be a difficult engine to work with. That's been said by multiple studios as well, right? But Konami is jumping over to Unreal, which isn't actually based or built for sports game either, but just a flexible engine. So I don't think it necessarily have to be the I don't think that the engine is actually the problem of the game at all. I think making the step to Frostbite 4 makes sense. Like you said, you can develop more and stuff. But everyone is still, and I really dislike this idea, everyone is still on like old type of generations. Like if you have the old Xbox, you get into the new one, you can bring your games, etc. But that's gone, right? New style of gaming is that you can just scale your games over all different kind of platforms, like Microsoft especially. If you have a game, you can use it on, you can play it on PC, you can play it, you can stream it on your mobile, or you can just use your Xbox Series X. But if you want to play it on your Series S, you can still play it on your Series S, but it will look a bit less, right? But it's all the same game. So making it, the game to Frostbite 4 makes perfectly sense for me. Putting it putting two different games out there with two different engines makes zero sense, in my honest opinion, and I can't see it happen, because what you'll do if as a developer, you want to build one engine, say Frostbite 4, and you just want to scale that down for the old gen. And you actually still don't want to forget about that huge old console base where half of the world can't even buy a PlayStation at the current stage. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying I can definitely see the step going over to Frostbite 4. But every single version of this game will run Frostbite 4. And yes, it will definitely look better on the new gen consoles. But it's definitely still playable on the old gen consoles. Because it's not like the old days where if you had a Nintendo 64, you had to jump over to, I don't know, a GameCube. You couldn't use it anymore. These days are done. Every single game is scalable over platforms. You see PlayStation games coming, being brought out on PC these days as well. And as long as that's still there and there's the huge player base on the sort of old gen consoles and you can't even buy the new gen consoles, yes, you get exclusive, but even God of War this week they announced, even God of War will be made available for PlayStation 4 as well, right? And that's a system seller game. So there's no way I can see them making two different versions of the game while also already maintaining a different version for the Switch. So the dev teams suddenly need to make three versions of FIFA 22 in COVID, in a sort of half COVID period. I can't see that.
Not financially viable, is it really?
No, and what will sell? You probably sell like 20% of all your games will be sold on new gen, but most of the players would go old gen and you don't even know where the tournaments are run as well. If that's still on the old gen, so to speak, that new gen will not even sell at all. So you want a game that is scalable and you want one game that's available for all platforms so you can also maintain it on all platforms. So step over to Frostbite 4, yes, can see it happen. Leaving the old gen behind the Frostbite 3 does make zero sense for me. If you get my drift.
Yes.
No, well, I mean, they had this issue, didn't they, at the start of the game where they couldn't bring out a demo because they wanted, you know, because of the issues simply due to COVID. And, you know, things have got easier, but they're only that much easier, to be honest with you. You know, it's still, you know, a lot of the world's under lockdown or some sort of restrictions from that point of view. I just think the old... It's a difficult one because what happens with the game is that somebody somewhere finds an exploitation, don't they? You know, they find something, whether it's, you know, the bridge dribble or directional nutmegs was a great idea, but now people are abusing it because the players are that good. They can go at a certain angle here, and actually the ball bounces off a defender. The defender can't react, and then the attacker goes through and scores, and that's what causes the biggest frustration, I think, to end the game. If I play someone who can skill and beats me fairly, then I'll wholly accept that. But it's when someone exploits a glitch in the game, that's the annoyance. And I'm not even sure that's EA's fault because the game's a lot more complicated than probably a lot of other games. You know, you talk about God of War or, you know, Event Horizon. These games are, while you can explore, they still have a linear story that you have to stick to. Whereas if you're playing FIFA, you have two people who will play the game totally different to normal. And that's the issue, is trying to find the issues are causing frustration, and EA fixing that would be better than them changing a game engine for me.
Yeah, or change to Unreal, like they did with like Rocket League, where everything does work fine, is Unreal. New PES will going to be on Unreal.
Of course, they own
But Frostbite. the investment on Frostbite had to be turned back anyways, right? Plus, if you use the engine, maybe that's something many people not in game development actually don't know. Say you get it, you use the engine from Unreal. That means you ask Epic for a license to use it, or actually you can use it, but the moment you publish it, Epic has to say, okay, you can publish it. That means part of the sales have to go to Epic. There's no reason, and that's why everyone's sticking to their own engine, at least the games like Ubisoft and Electronic Arts. There's no reason why they should put the same investments towards another company while they can build it in-house and keep that percentage for themselves. So it's not going to happen. And why Konami makes a step is because they sold every single thing from their gaming branch. They kept PES. That's about it. And they build their own engine, but it's been written off. Now you have to make a new step. You can either develop a new one, but you don't have much games anymore or a big studio anymore. So then it's much more efficient to sort of get the license for a outsource engine and build from there. And probably for the good as well, but in this case it makes sense. But I don't see EA saying, oh, you know what, we got 7 billion in revenue, let's give Epic 1 billion of that for you, let them use our engine for that money, you can actually just easily build your own engine and keep that running for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm. Again, you mentioned it earlier, John. People say Frostbite is really hard to use. Unreal is supposed to be very easy to use. So
yeah, sure. But that, then again, Frostbite has been on the market for 6 to 8 years, I think, now. Well, when I was a little kid, I was already programming in Unreal Engine 1. And I think that's also very much different. And if you outsource an engine, many developers work with it, and the engine gets better tuned to work with. While if you have it in-house, you just have to work with it, basically, but you can't really... You only have your own studios to listen to.
So I mean, I'm just... Sorry, John, I'm just looking at you talk about PES, and I take it PES uses Unreal Engine, is that right? Is that what we're saying?
Next year. The Comic PES is using Unreal Engine, and currently for all the current games are using the Fox Engine, which is an in-house, right. An in-house built engine developed for actually Metal Gear games.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is that I'm just there as I'm looking at it, and these are, this is just taken directly off the net. So according to SportKings.com, FIFA 19, total 12.2 million sold. And PES, it says it's 500,000. So do you think potentially, if you're PES now, if you're Konami now sitting there, would you give the game for free next year in a view to try and drag customers away from FIFA?
Well, you can't give it for free because you outsource your engine. So even if you give it for free, it will cost you money. With your license fee, I'm pretty sure, and your development fee, you'll be left in the dark as a company and we'll probably see the last of PES. So I don't see it happen for free, but what I do see happen is they will introduce the system like they did this year, where you pay just half for the update version, like €30. You get the new version of it, and go more of the in-game currency. But just also they'll bring it out, like they will bring it out, I think 3 or 4 weeks prior to FIFA as well. It will definitely, because it's new Unreal Engine, will definitely look next gen than FIFA already does. So I think if they get the details right and the physics right, then it might actually be a whole new different fun game. But it's not going to be free. No, don't see it happening.
Sorry.
I was going to say, but they've also invested in all these licenses, so they need to recoup that money as well. So they need to sell physical, they need revenue in, like you said, if they're paying for an Unreal Engine and they're paying all these football leagues and teams whatever you want to call it, to Celtic, Rangers, Juventus, you know, they need to get that revenue back, so then definitely to sell the game.
Yeah, exactly. But I will, though. I will get a lot of hype when the new engine starts. So I'm very confident. But I think they do it the proper way, but the only way they can actually do it. But EA is never going to change that. It's not a smart business decision to do so. Let's put it like that.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to see if they even do something like, I take on board your point that you can't give the game for free, but you could potentially give, say, a month's trial before FIFA comes out and try and hook in people to say, hold on a minute, this game's really good. Or, you know, because actually that's what I think is the problem. I think EA needs competition. I think if EA gets competition, and it will take a long time to break their stranglehold on the game, but if EA was to get competition, you may see that they'll start to increase their output and also listen to the people who are getting annoyed with certain glitches in the game.
Yeah, what else see happen with PES? And of course, I know I've still played PES, right, as well. And I came from the PES pro scene before we started doing this. But what I see happening with PES is then they also bring out a PES Lite after a couple of months. Usually 2 to 3 months they bring out a PES Lite, which is free to download. And you get only like the foot mode for it, the online, where you get the cards and stuff. What I can see is this year they'll just put out the game, tune it, work on it, try to improve on it. And next year when they think they have a good, like a proper product developed well in the new engine, second year going in the new engine and got the licenses in order, they'll probably say, you know what, PES Lite from day one, you can download for free. I can see that happen. But then you have sort of a build up and you work on a maybe on a good flow of comments, people liking it a lot and then jumping over. But let's see how this year goes first, I think. Because I also still feel that FIFA 21 isn't as bad as people make it out to be. Still, I'm of the opinion that this game is more balanced than every other game before it, which sometimes definitely makes it still, right? But like tactically, and it's hard. There's a lot more to gain or to lose with that.
I was going to say, there's a lot more variation this year. We've all talked about multiple tactics. Yeah, five at the back, three, five twos, narrow, 4-1-2-1-2, whatever. And you talked about it in the last pod, John. You have used a 4-2-3-1. Previous generations, 4-2-3-1 was the only formation to use. So the game has got better this year in some ways. I can't remember the, you know, what was it, 18 or 19? All it was lump it long to Ibrahimovic. Goal. Lump it
exactly.
long. You know, every game's got its faults, and this one is probably a little bit more balanced. If you're good at skill moves, I'm not. I'm delighted to get to my goal three. I wouldn't do a skill move if it came and slapped me in the face. I hit my A and my B, I hit my Y and my X. Some things work, some things don't. There's none of this clicking sticks and mashing buttons for me. People that can do that, that's where I get really frustrated, because like, oh, that's not fair. How'd you do that? Oh, Neymar doesn't even do that in real life. Yada, yada, yada. The game's got its faults, but it is actually not a bad game this year, I think.
No, I agree with you, John. Definitely.
The thing is frustrating is if you lose with... I get why if you like... You go in, you try to abuse mechanics, and you hope for a good like stumble, and you get the ball on your feet, and then score. I think that's the biggest problem, and that feels unfair, right? But then again, so felt the crossing, felt unfair. I think this year it's properly balanced. And when they don't change too much next year, just work on some details, make sure the physics are just a bit better on defense. Get rid of some of these outer blocks. It's already gotten a lot better than the start of the year, though. So.
No, I think as well, sometimes you can listen to your customers too much, which may sound like a strange thing, but if you were to listen to everybody and make every change that we are, you know, saying about it, then you're left with a game that's a wee bit dumbed down as well. Do you know what I mean? So there has to be a certain... I'm very much with you, John. I'm a passer. Don't know how to skill. When a skill comes off, I'm delighted, but it's only come off because I've inputted the wrong button for that point of view. You know, that's how it works for me. But as I say, it's just with the guys, and to be fair, I don't even think it's EA. I think it's just human nature. You find an exploitation and you just beat it to death until such times as it, you know, it annoys people. And you're sick of the fourth game that you've lost because a guy's bridged into your defender. Your defender can't react quick enough. The ball's bounced off. He's away, he scored the goal. You think, well, there's no skill to that. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not so sure. All I look for is for years, maybe to listen to customers from that point of view and make that slightly better. That's what I'd say.
But it's been a long year, right? And if you have a lot of time to play, and with all the socials we got, I'm part of that problem as well, right? Telling everyone how to do it. Then everyone starts developing that skill to do those things. And at a certain stage of the game, which usually is like... prior team of the season or around team of the season, everyone knows how this sort of works. And then you get in a situation where it's all the same. And that's, I mean, it sort of sucks, but on the other hand, it's been 10 months, 9 months now, 9 months. It makes sense, right? If you practice something for 9 months, you do it almost every single day. That after 9 months, you know how to do it. And then you play there for someone who also knows how to do it. Yeah, that gets still, right? That's why I say you should take a break once in a while. I think what John did is actually very smart. Just come back, feel fresh, got something to work on over the summer, find something to work on, and then go from there. Probably much more healthier as well. And don't forget these pros. Some of these pros which didn't make the qualifier or the FGS, the playoffs, are actually done, right? Their season is over. It's June and they're done until October. I mean, that's also a big gap. And then we're expecting the casuals to jump in that same gap and stay positive about everything, which is a hard task to ask, I think.
The game is designed for casuals. It's not actually designed for pros. Think about it. There's not enough events. There's not enough. You don't have 64 people twittering down to a winner. Is it normally 16 or something at these events, John? Is it something? So for me, the events aren't big enough. They're not long enough. They don't have enough people. There aren't enough events to make, from an outsider's point of view, everybody I know that plays FIFA is in our Discord or my friends in real life, because I know who some of the pros are, but there's not enough pro events for me. It makes it, I'm invested in the pro scene. I'm invested in a casual game of FIFA against some random guy in the division rivals of the weekend league.
No, that's fair. Any closing thoughts on this, gents? Don't think so, right? I see shaking heads.
I just wanted to remind people that our top space off is still live. I know John is a little bit salty, the fact that his beloved Serie A didn't make it through to the final. With one vote, I heard that. Yeah, he's putting his finger up to me, and it's just a light one he's putting up to me there. Just to remind everybody, Ligue 1, Navas, Marquinhos, Kimpembe, Klaus, Chalarique, Di Maria, Andre, our Bamba, who John packed as well, and Mr. Neymar and Mbappe, you know, that looks a really strong team, but they're up against Cort.
That's my vote.
Sorry, mate.
Neymar.
That's your vote, is it?
That's the vote. I've got a vote everywhere.
You heard it here first, guys. And then, but then again, they're up against Varane and Koundé and Courtois and Navas and Alba. That's a good back line that maybe keep under check. You've got De Jong and Vasquez. Joaquin and Carrasco wide, and Messi and Suarez. I don't know. I think that if you look at the Discord at the moment, it's very close. It actually is neck and neck on our Discord at the moment. So, you know, and on Twitter as well, I'm sure it's pretty close as well. So there's a lot of different things. Yeah, I think, you know, Suarez and Messi, De Jong, you know.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Sorry, Chris, I've got De Jong. He's amazing. Vasquez is so, I don't think he's underrated because everybody knows how good he is. Vasquez, for me, was my third best player in weekend league behind Suarez and King Kenny, and then it was Vasquez for goals and assists. And De Jong actually is brilliant. Suarez was top man, outplayed King Kenny. It's really good, but I would still rather have Neymar and Mbappe over Suarez and Vasquez, because I would just love to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to stay out of this one. Just to make sure you vote by retweeting or liking the last tweet. I still think the last votes were rigged. But hey, Serie A should be.
I have to say, just as well as to everybody, for me, weekend league was a bit sore. But Roussillon at left back, I don't know how many people have got him, was absolutely a star of the show, the free card. So that's the kind of thing, if EA is listening, and I know they do listen to us, more of those type of cards, please, because he was absolutely brilliant in weekend league.
Yeah, sure. I can't get him anyways, but I hope you get something like that. Chris, before I ask you where people can find you, I wanted to make sure that everyone knows that, of course, the Euros are starting next week. And because we have a lot of, well, hosts who are also football fans, next week's release schedule might be a little bit, different than you're usually, but we will put that podcast, of course, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, but maybe on a little bit of a different time than usual, but you'll definitely get it. So with that out of the way, and of course saying you could support us and follow us live if you join our Patreon, which you can find on patreon.com/footinreview. I wanted to ask Chris, where could people find you?
Cool, find us on the Discord under Grandpapa Mac. With the Euros coming, and you're going to get a lot of excitement, the draws out now, so you're going to get a lot of banter, especially next week on Friday for John and I and Wimby and Dan and Nick and all that. There's a real, and Tommy, you know, there's a real mixture of Scots and Englishmen in there. That's a big game coming this Friday. I don't think any us two will be on the pod unless it'll be a drunk one, to be honest with you. And if we get beat, we maybe not be back on next week, the week after either. We'll be in hiding. But you'll get me on the Discord. Great place to be. See this every time I come on. You know, come in, join. You know, I know the games maybe feel it's winding down, but actually, if you heard the coaches say, this is an ideal time to get practicing for FIFA 22.
Appreciate that, and definitely looking forward to next week's game. While I am driving back from my holiday, I will definitely be able to listen up on the radio. How's it going, I think? And I'll see what carnage is left when I can come back in the Discord at night. John, the Saint, Mr. Talking Foot, so glad we had you back on. Hopefully to see you soon again. But in the meanwhile, if people want to say hi and make sure that you are all right and stay on the podcast, where could they find you?
Obviously on Twitter at Talking Foot, and as Grandpapa Matt keeps saying, on the Discord, guys, brilliant place, like €3 or £3 for a month. That's all it's costing you, 75 pence a week. Come in, have some banter, have some laughs, get some discounts. You know, great place to be. You'll find me there as well at Talking Foot.
Awesome, and you can find him soon again on the podcast. And, of course, you can find me on foodcoaching.com or foodcoaching on all social media channels, and send me a message if you are interested in coaching or anything FIFA, basically. But next week, I'll be off on holiday and I'm still recording somewhere in the middle of nowhere. I'm taking all my setup with me. I'm really going to look forward to how that goes. Either there's a lot of mosquitoes and you can hear me smacking mosquitoes during the episodes, or a lot of birds and you can only hear the birds and don't hear me, or we'll find somewhere where it's really quiet and try to record there. But in our case, it's going to be very interesting, especially if you join the Patreon and look at the live broadcast, I think. Going to be awesome. Thanks for being there, guys. Be sure to tune in this Friday, I think, with Chris.
Potentially.
And of course, Dan and Ingvy, and maybe Nathan. I actually don't know. But definitely Dan and Ingvy will be there. And we'll see you soon. But for now, I'm going to drop it.
Drop it.
Drop it.
F U T T T in view. F U T.